But now it's time for the news, and Nikki will start with the first of five new slots.
There's been a huge range of news stories over the past 2 weeks. Many have looked at aspects of the impact of coronavirus, but there are also many other issues, major and minor. We will start, however, with the impact of COVID-19 in Norwich. It was announced this week that Norwich has seen the biggest drop in infection rates in Norfolk. Nevertheless, businesses said they were devastated after the Prime Minister postponed further easing of the lockdown, and Norwich is reported to be one of the UK's slowest cities to recover. The new guidelines allow families to visit loved ones in care homes in Norfolk, and they mean the end of shielding for 41,000 Norfolk residents. The wearing of masks in shops is now compulsory, and at Chapelfield, anyone arriving without a mask will be given one in exchange for a charitable donation. The wearing of face masks is expected to put some shoppers off from returning to the high street. Here's Robin with the first of these stories.
Norwich has been identified as one of the slowest cities to recover from the coronavirus lockdown. According to new data from the Centre for Cities, Norwich is among the 10 slowest cities to bounce back from the virus. However, the data may not paint an unnecessarily bleak picture, as it is based on high street footfall as opposed to spending and confidence. The data is collected on a pre-lockdown basis of 100 and measures how many people have been venturing into the city since. The indicator shows an index dip to just 14 points at the start of April, which has slowly crept up to 52 as of July the 7th. The overall index since lockdown has begun, therefore, lies at an average of 48, compared to some areas which are now seeing more people visiting their street than the weeks running up to the Prime Minister locking the country down. Among the busiest areas are Basildon with an index of 104 and Birkenhead at 103. Also in the bottom 10 are cities including London, Birmingham and Leeds. The data also gives breakdowns of where people are travelling from to reach Norwich. Prior to lockdown, most visitors to the city, 57%, were coming from outside the city. This was followed by 39% of people coming from the suburbs and 4% from within the city itself. However, now 5% of footfall is from city dwellers, with 48% travelling from the suburbs and 47% travelling from outside the area entirely. The same trend can be seen when it comes to workers going about their day in the city. Prior to lockdown, the majority of workers were commuting from outside the city at 52%. However, since Boris Johnson and his government encouraged people to work from home, this has swung to 36% of workers coming from outside the city, with 40% travelling from the suburbs and city dwellers making up 23%. Norwich's nightlife has also taken a hit. Ahead of lockdown, the city's index stood at 106 points, with customers shaking off anxiety about an imminent closing of shutters. However, since then, customers have stayed away, with the index still low at just shy of 33 points.
Businesses have said they're devastated following the Prime Minister's announcement that a further ease to lockdown restrictions had been postponed. The further easing of lockdown in England would have allowed small wedding receptions and the reopening of bowling alleys and casinos. But this has now been postponed for at least 2 weeks due to a rise in cases of coronavirus. Previously, weddings taking place this weekend had been given the green light to host 30 guests, though this has now been revoked. It also means that close contact services such as beauty treatments and facial piercing will no longer be permitted. Bowling alleys and casinos, which were also due to reopen from this weekend, have been told they won't be allowed to do so. It's devastating news. We've been working for the past 2 weeks to get our sites ready and get staff back off furlough. Everyone was so excited to come back, and then the news broke, said Martina Pierce, who's the operations manager for Super Bowl UK. The team had been back at the site in Norwich's Castle Quarter, as well as other alleys across the country, preparing them for reopening. Measures that had been put in place include alternate alleys being in use, sanitising bowling balls between every use, and closing the soft play area. On top of this, sneeze screens have been put up at reception and sanitising stations have been put in place throughout the venue. Miss Pierce continued, "We've got to update staff and customers. We won't be able to reopen tomorrow, and that's in the next couple of hours. We find it strange that as such a large venue, where we can control footfall from the front door, that we're being categorised with nightclubs. I know that the issue people are worried about is bowling balls. We've balls per lane which are sanitised after every use, and gloves to hand out so people can bowl in gloves if they'd like to. We can't understand why they've lumped us in with nightclubs." She went on, "We'll be prepared to open at a day's notice next time, because everything's in place. We just need 24 hours and then the shutters can come back up." Beauty parlours have also been told they won't be able to offer a full range of treatments as they had expected to from tomorrow, as they'll not be allowed to offer close contact treatments like facials.
For the last 19 weeks, thousands of people in Norfolk with health conditions that make them more vulnerable to coronavirus have been confined to their homes while shielding, but they will no longer be required to do so. In Norfolk alone, an estimated 41,000 people had to shield. They were trapped in their homes and gardens for weeks. Many went without any human contact, and many will have experienced depression and loneliness as a consequence. Yet, despite all this, from today, shielding is no longer a requirement for those classed as vulnerable. The government said those shielding are encouraged to stay home as much as possible, but may go out to more places including work and school and maintain 2 metre social distancing. In Norfolk, the county councillors announced services will continue to support shielders after August the 1st. But for shielders across Norfolk, the relaxing of shielding has left them feeling anxious and extremely cautious about venturing out of the house. Leslie Nelson from Hempnall, South Norfolk, underwent revolutionary CRT treatment for stage 4 lymphoma in November last year, which destroyed muscle and nerve in her leg as well as compromised her immune system. Shielding began for the 54-year-old on March the 9th, 4 weeks before receiving her shielding letter. In the process, she could not say goodbye to her youngest son, who moved out the night of lockdown. She said, "I couldn't even hug him goodbye. That was hard. I am fortunate enough to live in a rural area, so could walk round the park or round the village without seeing anyone. My husband continued to work from home, so we were safe together. I'm glad it's come to an end, but I have noticed many people not social distancing, so I fear another wave. It will be nice to go into a shop again, but I will be exceedingly careful to keep away from people and not touch what I don't have to."
A designated visiting room and arranged bookings are among ways families and friends will be able to visit loved ones in care homes. The Department of Health and Social Care updated its guidelines on how visits can resume following a fall in the number of coronavirus cases in the community. Under the guidelines, an area's Director of Public Health and Council will outline how visits can take place, and a full risk assessment will need to be completed by care homes. Bill Borrett, Norfolk County Council's Cabinet Member for Adult Social Care and Public Health, said, "We know that this news will mean a lot for many care home residents across Norfolk, as well as for their families. In restarting visits, the safety and the health of care home residents must be our top priority. Each care home is drawing up full risk assessments and making their own decisions, with support from us, ensuring the history of infection both within the home and in the households of any visitors is considered before any visits are made. When open, visitors will be encouraged to wear face coverings while maintaining social distancing measures, and homes advised to limit to a single constant visitor where possible. Care providers are asked to consider outdoor visits, which has been seen at a number of Norfolk care homes. In the case of visits taking place in a resident's room, visitors should go there directly to the room and leave immediately. The guidelines say care providers may also look to install a barrier or create a designated visiting room which can be used by one resident and visitor at a time before being cleaned. Skin-to-skin contact, such as handshakes and hugs, are still being discouraged, and visitors wishing to bring gifts should bring items that can easily be cleaned, such as a box of chocolates. Visits should also be booked in advance and not on an ad hoc basis.
Samantha Beckwith has been shielding at home after she and her sister Lucy had kidney transplants, and while she is less worried than before, she said she does not feel ready to go out. The sisters both have a rare genetic condition called cystinosis and have been at home in Hingham with their parents. The 23-year-old who works in retail said, "I'm not ready to go out and about at all. We've been going for daily exercise, but that's all. We are continuing to get home deliveries for food, and we haven't been anywhere into any buildings but our local doctors since March. I'm lucky to have my job supporting me, but I'm worried some aren't as fortunate, as the government ending things could be so dangerous to many. Some of us cannot just simply go back to normal, and I am not going into shops because they say I can. It's not worth the risk." Shoppers say they will be put off visiting the high street as it will have to wear a face mask while in certain businesses. The government has brought in legislation that states face coverings must be worn in shops, as well as shopping centres, banks and post offices, and cafes where food is brought to takeaway. However, according to a poll organised by this newspaper, 61% of readers said they are uncomfortable going into stores where they have to wear a mask. Of the 357 people who completed the questionnaire, 221 said they would be put off by entering an outlet if they have to wear a face covering. However, 118 people confirmed they would not be deterred from shopping if they had to wear a mask, which equated to 35% of respondents. A further 18 people, 4% of those who responded, said they did not mind either way.
Customers arriving at Chapelfield Shopping Mall without a face covering will be asked to make a donation to charity in return for a mask or be turned away. The retail hub has launched a mask task force who will work to ensure government guidance on face coverings is adhered to. The move comes after the government made the announcement last week that anyone who fails to comply with wearing a face covering into a shop, unless they're exempt, will be fined £1,000. As a result, customers without a face covering will be asked by the group to purchase a disposable mask, the proceeds of which will be donated to charity. The funds will be split between the local domestic violence charities Leeway and Dawn's New Horizon. The recommended minimum donation is £1 a mask. Into Chapelfield has donated the masks, so every pound collected will go straight to the charities. People aren't permitted to enter Into Chapelfield Shopping Centre without a mask, but we're conscious that some of our visitors may not be aware of the new rules or may forget to bring a face covering with them, said Sheridan Smith, the marketing manager at Into Chapelfield. She says, "Our aim is always to make everyone's shopping experience pleasant and stress-free, and we definitely don't want to have to turn anyone away. Therefore, our friendly mask task force will be on hand to help. Last weekend, we collected £260 for these two local charities, so we know many customers found our mask task force helpful." Chapelfield has enlisted the support of Norwich company Daisy Entertainment to help customers with their masks. Ms. Smith added, "Our mask task force will be wearing brightly coloured, festival-inspired costumes, so they'll be easy to spot, and they will, of course, be wearing masks themselves. We've put a process in place to ensure that people only touch the mask that they're taking, and only after first sanitising their hands."